ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम् Canto 1, Chapter 4, Text number 27, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Nati prasida dridhaya sarasvatyas tate shucho Vitarkayan vivictasta idam chovacha dharmavit. Verse translation. Thus the sage, being dissatisfied at heart, at once began to reflect, because he knew the essence of religion, and he said within himself, purport. The sage began to search out the cause of not being satisfied at heart. Perfection is never attained until one is satisfied at heart. This satisfaction of heart has to be searched out beyond matter. This describes Vyasadeva, who, even after compiling and editing all the Vedas and supplementary literatures, which is the very purpose of his existence as Vyasa. His job is to Vyasa, to divide the Vedas and put them in order. He still felt dissatisfied. And then he began to reflect, because he knew the essence of religion. Srila Prabhupada has translated here dharmavit, which is an easy term to understand, someone who knows what is dharma. Srila Prabhupada has translated as one who knows the essence of religion. So the question might arise that if one knows the essence of religion, then how can he be dissatisfied at heart? Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, it's only a very short purport, but it's full of meaning. Srila Prabhupada writes, perfection is never attained until one is satisfied at heart. So does this mean that Vyasadeva, he wasn't satisfied at heart, he wasn't perfect, then what was the... then he compiled all the Vedas, but does that mean it's his work was all imperfect? No, it doesn't mean that at all. But in the course of compiling all the Vedas, he brought in many factors which are not directly concerned with the essence. Actually, all the Vedas, Sarve Veda Yat Padang Amananti, all the Vedas point to one point, and that point is Krishna. Vedaischa Sarve Rahameva Vedyaha. Krishna is the goal of knowledge in all the Vedas. Vede Ramayana Chaiva Purane Bharate Tata Adavante Chamadhecha Hari Sarvatra Giyate. In all the Vedas, Puranas, Mahabharata, in all this literature, the only point is Krishna. It's all meant for glorifying Krishna. But at the same time, Krishna himself says in the Bhagavad Gita that Triguna Vishaya Veda, the Vedas are concerned with subject matters of the three modes of material nature. So the Vedas are operating on different levels. One who knows the essence can understand that all the Vedas are meant for glorifying Krishna, and someone else won't find Krishna even after going through all the Vedas. So Vyasadeva had compiled all the Vedas, but he was feeling discontent at heart, even though he knew the essence of religion, which is Krishna. Now, this situation is something that we as aspiring devotees often face in our own way. not that we're on the level of Vyasadeva. But theoretically, we know what is the essence of religion. If we ask any of our devotees here, what is the essence of dharma? And you all know very well that the essence of dharma is sarva, to give up all dharma and surrender to Krishna. Sarva dhamman parityaja mam ekam sharanam vraja. And the essence of all dharma is pure devotional service to Krishna, knowing him to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At the same time, we have to be alert to the different messages that we're getting from all kinds of people outside of this little community which we have here. The whole world seems to say, don't surrender to Krishna. Enjoy yourself. Have a happy life, forgetting Krishna. They've forgotten Krishna so much they won't even say Krishna. So there's that's one reason why we have this community, so we can Sange Shakti Kalo Yuge. In Kali Yuga there's strength in association. In Krita Yuga, in Satya Yuga, people used to go for meditation alone, but in Kali Yuga we need to be strong together. We get strength by helping each other. So even though we know the philosophy of, or the teachings of Krishna and Krishna consciousness, we know very well, it's not that difficult to understand. The points are very simple. We are eternal living beings. Krishna is the supreme eternal. Nityo Nityanam. What is that? Nityo Nityanam? Chaitanas Chaitananam. Eko Yo Vidat. Eko Bahanam Yo Vidatati Kaman. There's one eternal among them. Many eternals who is eternal conscious living beings, who is the one supreme above them all, who's fulfilling the desires of all the others. So it's not difficult to understand. The philosophy basically is not difficult to understand. We can do a Bhakti Shastra course and then Bhakti Vaibhav and Bhakti Vedanta and Bhakti Sarva Bhoma and all these things. But we can study, and it's good to study, but at the same time, even a child can understand the basics. We are subordinate to Krishna eternally. We are in this material world because we've forgotten Krishna. We have to practice Krishna consciousness, become fully Krishna conscious, surrender to Krishna, and go to Krishna in the spiritual world. And while we're here, try to do what we can to help others also take up Krishna consciousness. So the basic understanding is not very difficult. It doesn't require a super brain or very deep knowledge of the intricacies of the wranglings that go on in the name of Vedanta philosophy. Wranglings, you can say, tarka vitarka, something like that. Jalpanam. What would you say, wrangling? Jalpanam, yeah. But at the same time, understanding it with the mind is one thing, and at this, but really, chitete korea aika, really making it one with our heart, so there's nothing else in our heart. That's something else. It takes time to become free from the dictates of the mind and the senses. So devotees should be alert not to be misled by the dictations of the mind and the senses, knowing that that is all rubbish, anything which is not taking us toward Krishna. It might seem very feasible, practical, realistic, beneficial, but it's all maya. So even though theoretically we may know so many things, or we know the essence, we may think we don't need to hear these classes about Krishna consciousness. We don't need to hear. We already know. I went to the class. There's nothing. I already heard all that before. It's the same every day. Or then in the classes, the devotees giving classes may dig something out of this Purana or that Purana and some stories to say something new, interesting. Otherwise, it's not interesting to hear every day. You're not the body. Surrender to Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality. Boring. Very boring. I don't know. Yeah, yeah. Well, if we're in Maya, it's boring. But we might think like that. We have to be open to hearing. We may know everything, but we don't really know anything if we think that we don't need to hear. We must be open to going on hearing. Nityang Bhagavata Seva. Or we just sung this song, Bhaja Hure Mana, that finishes. Bhaja Hu Haripada Niti Re. That this Shravanam Kirtanam, we should go on worshipping Krishna. Niti here in this context means daily. We should go on daily, regularly. Niyamit Rupse, yes. In a fixed way. Regularly, yeah. So the Shastra is the center. We may have a good knowledge of Shastra. We may have a very good guru. There are sadhus also to help us on the way. We ourselves may be good preachers and guides, but we have to be open to hear from others also. Otherwise, what's going on is that we know that we're supposed to be Krishna conscious, but the mind or the attractions of this mind and senses are pulling us. Foolishness. What is the definition of foolishness? The stupidity means to make the same mistake over and over again. That's one definition of stupidity, to do the same wrong thing. We know that something gives a bad result, but we do it again and again and again. Why, that's stupidity. Well, that means the whole material world is stupid. But because we do the same thing, looking for enjoyment in this material world, then we get birth, death, old age and disease and all kinds of suffering. Pashanapi na pashyati. We see, but we don't see. We can see how anything but Krishna consciousness is most detrimental to us. At the same time, we don't want to see. We are resistant to seeing. So we need to hear. Hearing is a very powerful process, more powerful than seeing. Yeah. By hearing, we can see everything in proper perspective. We see everything through our world view, which is shaped by hearing, shaped by the whole culture we live in. So again, this community here is meant to... So we're making our own little culture, microcosmic culture here, so we can help each other to be Krishna consciousness. And we can be grateful for the very existence of others who are ready to help us, whose intelligence is clear. Or it may be that we're able to see how others are being misled by the mind and senses, but we're not able to see ourselves. So it's very helpful to be open to others, so that our own foolishness, we may think I'm very intelligent, but it may be our own foolishness, so it can be mitigated and removed. And that mitigated? Not the, it's the same word, mit. Mitana. Now, it may not be that we have to go up to someone and say, point a finger in their face and say, you're in Maya. It may not be required like that, but if we, just the very process of regularly hearing is so helpful. So many times I've personally had the experience of hearing or reading from Srila Prabhupada and others, and something which is a very basic point, which but then it just strikes me at that particular moment that it's so relevant to my present situation. So in this way, like Vyasadeva, we may be in knowledge, but not in knowledge. We know, but we don't know. And then by Vyasadeva hearing from Narad, and then Narad told Vyasa, think about it. What I've told you, you think about it and look within yourself. So we can't force people to become Krishna conscious, but we can give them the instruction. And then we have to accept that. We have to be essence seekers. I chose this verse because Srila Prabhupada uses this term here, the essence of religion. We're all here because we are dedicated to the essence of religion. But time to time we might just forget about that essence of religion. It's Maya, the very nature of Maya is that we forget. Koto nidra jao maya pisha chira kole. Bhajibo bolirashe, shangshara bitore, bhuliya rohile tume, avidara bhore. Where we're in the situation where we know we've come to worship Krishna, but we forgot. If we haven't forgotten, we're not as intense as we should be in remembering. We may tend to take things as a kind of routine. So we should not be misled by our own lackadaisicalness. What does that mean? Halka bhavana, something like that. Taking things lightly, whimsically. Not taking things very seriously. Or we should not be misled by some show of so-called spirituality. It's easier to pretend to be spiritual than to actually be spiritual. And it's many people are misled by that. I mean, look at Hinduism today, all these gurus and sadhus, and people think they're very spiritual, but there's nothing there. There's nothing of substance. It's just, it's more and more it's becoming that spirituality is something which is marketable. if you can make a good show of playing the part of a spiritual person, then people who are interested in some kind of entertainment or feeling spiritual rather than actually surrendering to Krishna, they'll appreciate that. And if someone can look as if they're really absorbed in kirtan, or they may look like that, but then we have to see what is their behavior and how do they speak when they're not doing kirtan. We can understand how serious a person is about kirtan when they stop singing, and what do they do after that? How do they conduct the rest of their life? Just making a show of intense feeling. Well, openly professional entertainers do that. they're not pretending to be spiritual, but they know that people have a a desire for different kinds of emotions, and by entertainment, by drama, by singing, they evoke such emotions in people, and people like that. It's entertainment. It's understood to be entertainment. That's better. If someone's a joker or an actor, then everyone knows they're a joker or an actor. But then if they pretend to be spiritual, then that adds another whole dimension. People say, oh, very spiritual. But it's not spiritual. If their approach is entertainment. It's not at all. But people like it. You get the best of both worlds. You get your entertainment and you get your spiritual all packaged in one. But there's no surrender to Krishna. They may even say Hare Krishna. But that we have to forswear sense gratification and surrender to Krishna. We have to go beyond the false ego of identifying with this body and trying to enjoy this material world. They won't say that. It's not entertaining. It's not pleasing to the ego. So we have to be careful of our own false ego. What to mention others, knowing that this egoism or identifying with myself as an enjoyer of this material world, very dangerous. Can spoil. Even if we come to Krishna consciousness very seriously, can spoil everything. All our endeavors. If we think, I want to be the enjoyer of some position or power in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Guru, Shastra, Sadhu. We have Guru, we have Shastra. We have to find out the association of pure-hearted devotees and live with them. Tandera charana shevi bhakta shane bash. Janame janame hoy ei obhilash. Live with devotees who, by their behavior, by their sincerity, by their words, they help us along the path. Otherwise, we can be expert in studying Shastra. Expert, I mean, who's expert nowadays? There's no Vyasadeva. Well, there is. We'll find so many speakers, if we go to Govardhan, we'll find so many advertisements for this Vyas and that Vyas, and anyone who represents Vyas may also be considered as a representative of Vyas, but to have that much knowledge is possible only for Vyas himself. But pure-hearted devotees, we want that association. Even Vyasadeva himself played the pastime. He wasn't really bewildered at heart, but ontologically, but he appeared to be bewildered, and then by the association of Narad, his guru, he became free from that. So it just helps us to understand that simply knowing bhakti, like I'm saying, bhakti shastra, bhakti vaibhav, all these things. Knowing is one thing, but chitete korea aikya, making it one with our heart, overcoming the dictations of the mind and the senses, that is something else. Therefore, the association of devotees is required. Most necessary among all the types of devotional service, five have been given as essential, and out of those, what are the five? What's the first? Say it. Sadhu Sangha Nama Kirtan Bhagavad Shravan Mathura Va Shraddhai Sri Murtir Sevan. So first comes association with devotees. That's the first. If we have association with devotees, the other things will automatically follow. If we try to do the others without the association of devotees, it's very difficult to come to the perfect stage without that. Even you may say, no, first comes. What's first in devotion? Enthusiasm. Because Shravanam, yes, you can also say Shravanadi, Shuddha, Chitta, Koriyata. They're different. Well, here it says enthusiasm. Utsahad, Nischad, Dharyat, Tat, Karma, Prabhupada. First comes enthusiasm. But that, even if we use enthusiasm, we have to know what to be enthusiastic for. And we say, well, then Shravan comes first. But Shravan means we have to associate with devotees. Otherwise, who are we hearing from? Enthusiasm, yeah, we can jive and be enthusiastic and charge, run as fast as we can in the wrong direction. Or slightly off course, even if we run slightly off course, then we're not going to get to the proper goal. There's just when Rupa Goswami says enthusiasm, utsaha, then it means enthusiasm on the path of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, we find drunkards are enthusiastic. Oh, a bottle of wine, great, let me drink it. Becomes very enthusiastic. Or a gambler becomes very enthusiastic. Oh, I can see. But there's even materially, the drunkard and the gambler are spoiling their lives. But they become enthusiastic for the wrong things. And practically, that Narottam Das says, "Jani ashuni abisha kaino." That's the whole of material life, isn't it? Where we should know, we should know that we're spoiling our existence by not worshipping Radha and Krishna. By going on in material life, trying to enjoy this world, but still we do it. So it's just like drinking poison knowingly. Don't drink that, that's poison. Isn't that foolish? Well, that's the story of your life. That you can get biography. You can go in the library section, biography, so many biographies. All the biographies you can sum up of everyone's life. Jani ashuni abisha kaya. That's jivani, atna jivani, yeah, biography, autobiography. Yeah. Everyone is foolishly wasting that. But in the biography, who do we have biographies of? We don't have a biography of what's called a couch potato. There's a saying in English, couch potato. That means someone who sits on the seat in front of the TV, and that's what he does. That's what you could call a kursi alu. Just like a potato, because he gets very fat. He's eating potato chips while he's watching TV. He becomes very fat, so he becomes a couch potato. So such people, no biographies are written about them. There's nothing interesting in that. If you find biographies of persons, it's about people who had enthusiasm and determination and patience and tat-tat karma pravartanat, whatever they were doing, they did it in the proper way so that they became successful. There may be biographies of Anil Ambani, not about someone who put all his life savings on the stock exchange and lost it the next day. It's the people who are successful. They did certain things in the right way. So these are the people who become glorified by persons who are like hogs, dogs, camels, and asses. But they had enthusiasm, determination, and patience. And they had great intelligence also. We can't deny that people like Anil Ambani and Adolf Hitler, you can't deny they had intelligence, have or had intelligence. But it's not the intelligence that discriminates at the very fine level what is the real purpose of life. For Anil Ambani, the purpose of life is to put another few thousand crores to earn it. They call it earning it. And for Adolf Hitler, power, the intoxication of power. So, but they were intelligent in seeking their goals, but they didn't seek the essence. This whole point, this Vyasadeva was, he knew the essence of religion, the essence of existence. So real intelligence is to first of all find out what is the real goal of life and then apply intelligence to that. Or how to, and one aspect of intelligence is to understand the limits of our intelligence, that we require to take knowledge from others and we require help from others. So this intelligence is required. Without that, being intelligent enough to understand that I need help from others, then we're on the platform of egoism. That famous verse is there, Gyane prayasam udapasya namanta eva. That one should give up the endeavor to think that, well, I can work out everything myself. People may be very intelligent, but if one thinks that I can work everything out myself, it's not very intelligent. It's actually very intelligent to be humble enough to accept that I need some help, some guidance. Ugyane prayasam udapasya namanta eva jivanti sanmukharitam bhavati avartam. Same thing this verse is stressing. We should hear from others topics of Krishna and Krishna consciousness. So it requires some, humility, namanta eva, becoming humble. And just humility means some basic honesty. Mostly, people, especially those who are trying to be very successful in this world, then they have to... Honest here in this sense means sincere, imanda, something, nishkapat, whatever. You know, it's your language. So, being honest and straightforward with ourselves, I'm just one tiny jiva tossed about in the waves of material existence. Now I'm fortunate, so fortunate to get the association of devotees and understand that the essence of all existence is to surrender to Krishna. So in this way we can come together with like-minded devotees. Srila Prabhupada would sometimes quote that English saying, birds of a feather flock together. So we see the crows go together, the swans go together. You don't see so many birds nowadays, probably because of all the pesticides. In a country area like this, there should be so many birds, but not so many. Must be all pesticided out of existence. Oh, there's someone saying I'm here. But it's birds of a feather flock together, so people of the same mentality come together. So the swans come together, the crows come together. We should try to be like swans. Now that example is particularly given because the swan is said to be a bird that can, if there's a mixture of milk and water, then the swan can extricate the milk, the essential part, and leave behind the water. So essence seekers, we're supposed to be like swans. So that requires seriousness, truth, or the essence. It's not a subject of entertainment or a very light approach. We can see here Vyasadeva is a very grave person. He has a very grave task of presenting the truth as given in the Vedas simply by sentimentalism, we won't attain it. Vyasadeva didn't. He didn't write. He didn't write the script of all these entertainment dramas based on Ramayana, Mahabharata. He didn't write that. Other people came later and wrote that. He didn't make cartoon Krishna. That's not from Vyasadeva. That's an adulteration of Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva gave real Krishna. Others came and gave some sentimental idea about Krishna. But Vyasadeva gives the real Krishna. And as we can see, Srila Prabhupada writes here, perfection is never attained unless one is satisfied at heart. So this essence of religion, that is, yayatna suprasidati, when we're actually in touch with the essence, when we're living for the essence, surrender to Krishna, then we become satisfied at heart. Anything else will not satisfy our heart. Hitler wasn't satisfied at heart. His ego was satisfied, maybe. Well, ego is never satisfied. Material desire is never satisfied. Dushparena analena cha, just as like fire is never satisfied. However much wood you throw in the fire will never say, enough, enough, I've had enough. He'll always eagerly consume more. So like that, material desire is never satisfied. The heart may become dissatisfied, and for some time we, just like someone may become an impersonalist. Oh, I'm frustrated. But then after some time, the desires come up again. Just like one may overeat, and then he has to fast, and then again the fire of digestion starts burning in the stomach. The desire for food comes. So in the same way, we may be frustrated by material desire. So, now I'm going to renounce the world. But then again, the desire comes. Unless a material desire comes after some time. Unless one has the actual, one is satisfied at heart. Savaipung sangparo dharmo yato bhaktira hokshaja yahaitukya pratihata yayatma suprasidati. This is the essence of religion, or the topmost dharma for every living being, is devotional service to the transcendental Lord, which is unmotivated and uninterrupted, and that alone can satisfy the heart. So practically we do that by identifying ourselves as a servant of Krishna, the devotees, the acharyas. That is the essence of all understanding. I am simply a servant, and we live like that. Jivanti sannukaritam bhavadiyavartam. We live like that. We hear that we're supposed to act as a servant. We act as a servant, and then we feel completely satisfied. Bhavantame vanu charan nirantara prashantini shesha manoratantara. Because the convolutions of the mind have come to an end, we're fully satisfied at the lotus feet of Krishna, having surrendered to him. Kadahamai kantika nitya kinkara praharshi ishami sanata jivita. We feel fully satisfied being sheltered by Krishna. This is the only way to get beyond Maya, is to fully surrender to Krishna. So we have to hear regularly, and we think, well, I've heard it, yeah, I know, yeah, yeah, Maya, yeah, the whole material world is Maya, yeah, we know it, but we have to go on hearing, that is protection. When we know that this material world is Maya, that helps to protect us against it, but we need to hear regularly, because Maya is always attacking. So it's just like we have the armor of protection, but then Maya's shooting bullets and making holes in the armor, and after some time there may not be much armor left. It's all just holes, and it all falls off, and then we're completely exposed to Maya. Otherwise, unless we regularly hear what we need to hear, then we come to the point where the same as materialistic people, they take the madness that is the way, their whole way of life is complete insanity. They just take it to be normal. People are just completely wasting their lives. And they think, yeah, well, yeah. That, they don't think, that's the problem. They don't think deeply about it at all. So when we take the madness of not surrendering to Krishna and just living a life to be normal, then we're in Maya. In Krishna consciousness also, if we think that, well, yeah, little chanting here and there, it's okay. I'll chant a few rounds while I take my dog for a walk, or something like that. Then we're in trouble. You see the karmis, yeah, they're enjoying life. They have their pet dogs and their nice fashions and whatever. They can go to Haldirams and enjoy themselves. Then we're in trouble. I mean, well, that's a small thing. Haldiram. Haldiram is, you go and you buy some snacks, you're in trouble. Because it's not, it doesn't, any small thing. Actually, the great thing about Haldiram, the name Ram is, although Jai Nityananda would tell us it should be Haldirama. Yellow Ram, is it? How did it become yellow? Oh, they put so much haldi in most of the preparations. There'll be haldi, turmeric. So, what am I have to say? Yeah. Sadhu Savdhan, Priyakirti, be careful. Don't get in Maya. He doesn't even know what Haldirams is, I hope. Maybe he did when he was younger. He should have been here long enough that he's forgotten. Now, this all might sound fanatical, arrogant, dambic, maybe? It may sound like that, but we have to stand on the platform of reality, seeking, always seeking the essence. Otherwise, if we'll be victimized by madness. Everything outside of pure Krishna consciousness is madness. We have to be convinced of that. To be convinced, we have to go on hearing and understanding. This example is here. Even Vyasadeva appeared to be illusioned because he, for the service of Krishna, he had been so much involved in compiling literature which was, from one perspective, not directly Krishna conscious. He's writing all these things about worship this demigod, worship that demigod, do this sacrifice. It's all meant for Krishna, but he knows that most people will take it not for Krishna. And he's doing it in that way. So it becomes very dangerous. So be careful. Hare Krishna. Any question about this? Yeah.
हमारे जो ऐसे समुदाय हैं हमारे जो ऐसे समुदाय हैं जो हम बना रहे हैं उसमें एक समस्या भक्तों को आती है कि जब वे साथ में
रहना wonderful in this community that we're developing there's only one problem that our devotees are facing That's what the whole class is about. It's not thinking about Krishna. That's the one problem. Uske alava? Or what comes from that? All problems come from Krishna Vismriti, not remembering Krishna. So what's the specific manifestation?
कि भक्त जब आपस में रहते हैं तो उनको एक दूसरे की त्रुटियां दिखती हैं, अनबन होती है, तो साथ रहना लगता है और मुश्किल है. उनको लगता है कि जब हम साथ में नहीं रह रहे थे, साथ में सेवा नहीं कर रहे थे, शहर में थे, तो हमारे संबंध ज़्यादा आसान थे बनाने. लेकिन साथ साथ बहुत क्लोज में रहते हैं, बहुत सेवा करते हैं, तो कई बार ऐसा बड़ा मुश्किल प्रतीत होता है कैसे आपस में
क्रिटिकल एटीट्यूड.
और फिर लगता है कि संघ से तो हमें और हानि हो रही है, हमारे द्वेष बढ़ रहे हैं, हमारे अपराध
बढ़ रहे हैं. Bad feeling toward each other. Then we should dance and chant together in kirtan. That's a simple answer, isn't it? Well, no, we need to make some psychological analysis. No, dance and chant together in kirtan. We're striving for a very high ideal. We're striving for a very high ideal, and we have to help each other to come up. Part of the helping is to point out that this is not exactly correct. And it can be difficult for us if we're again and again we're told this is not exactly correct. So it requires much humility to live in the association of persons who are always telling us we're wrong. Or he may not be telling us all the time, but well, in some sense that has to be there. And also, although we're aiming at the high ideal, which means we always have to push ourselves and others, at the same time we're aiming at the ideal, but at the same time we have to understand that not everyone's going to be ideal overnight, and we have to be tolerant of various imperfections as we may perceive it. I was just reading something recently in Mahabharata where Krishna was saying to Narada, it's so difficult living with all my relatives, all the Yadus and everyone, that Ahuka is always fighting with Akrura and telling me to do this and that. And Krishna said to Narada, it's so tough living with all my family. I do my best to satisfy the senior members. I'm very humble with them and I bow down to them, but still they don't always treat me properly. He's saying it's so difficult. And Narada said, yeah, anyway, but you just go on with humility and just accept the world is like that to a large extent. Do your best. That was Narada's advice. It's a short chapter in Mahabharata. Yeah, Maya may attack us in that way. We think, oh, it's so difficult living with devotees. Yeah, it is. If we live in the material world, then no one will... There's no attack on our false ego. Living with devotees means that we're exposed. We're living with each other, so it's very difficult to hide all our anarthas, all our imperfections. It can be painful, but that's part of the process of purification. So stick with it and go on chanting. This is the purification process. It may be something like, yeah, we may think, well, let me go back to the city and then life's much easier in that sense. I don't have all these devotees getting on my case all the time, or it's so tough living with all these devotees. They're so critical. That's something like the child saying to the mom, I don't want to go to school. And say, if I just play at home, I can just play. But when I go to school, the teacher's disciplining me and the other kids are poking me. Still, you have to go to school. course, by force you're sent to school, by voluntary submission, one joins a community like this. But really, in the absence of any critical material circumstance, to join this community and then again leave it is really not a good idea. Seeing as it is going on with cooperation with the idea of everyone advancing in Krishna consciousness. It's happening. So to leave this would be madness. If it was grossly mismanaged, or there was exploitation of devotees going on, principles not being followed, then one would have to rethink. But it's going on with daily kirtans, classes, worship, cooperation of devotees, all the ingredients are there for becoming fully Krishna conscious. So to leave this because we think, oh, it's too difficult, that's really not a good idea at all. If we want to be Krishna conscious. And if we don't want to be Krishna conscious, then what do we come here for in the first place anyway? That's really the only advantage. Peacefulness, I guess you can say, compared to city life. But then you're saying that mentally, in some ways, it may be more peaceful in the city because you're not in the pressure cooker of living with so many devotees. You can just go on with your illusion and everyone will encourage you in that. Yeah, well, materially, it doesn't make any sense to come here. Maybe peacefulness, you can say. Materially, it makes no sense. Spiritually, it makes all sense. So it depends what we want. Anything else? You were going to ask a question?
How to get advantage of Sadhu Sangha and even though knowing their imperfections?
Even though knowing the imperfections of others, how can we take advantage of Sadhu Sangha? Same point, essence seeker. This devotee is a bit rough in his behavior and but he's chanting 16 rounds a day. He's getting up from Mangalati. He's seriously practicing Krishna consciousness. This kind of satsanga, coming together, it's very good for bringing out the best in everyone because the regular social dealings are not going on. The only thing going on here is hearing and chanting about Krishna. So we should encourage that. We can have Ishta Goshtis also, where we come together specifically to discuss topics of Krishna consciousness. That's a good idea. How about that? Maybe once a week. We can ask everyone to prepare in advance topics about the glories of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, for instance. Or then everyone prepares something to say and then discuss it. Or you could have one subject, how to live in the society of devotees and take full advantage even though we see imperfections. That could be one subject for discussion. And then parasparanu katana, machita madgata prana, this comes out. Bodhi anta parasparanu. So that you can do also. Hare Krishna, all glories to His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, who has very kindly given us the opportunity to come together and hear and chant about Krishna. Parivadatu jano yatatata vananu mukaro na vayang vicharayamaha Hari rasa madira madati mata bhuvi vilutama natama nirvishama dante nidhaya churnakang padayo nipatya kritvacha kakushata metaraham ravimi. He sadhava sakalameva vihaya durad chaitanya chandra charane kurutanu ragam vancha kalpatarubhyas chakribhasam patitanam pavane bhyo vaishnave bhyo namo namaha.